you're in search of a great new bottle of wine, or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wine's food, you to drink a wine. Pass that bottle to me. Drinking wine's food, you to drink wine.
You through?
good morning. Hey, I love your shirt there.
Why, thank you. That is my Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelic shirt I got last night at the CD release party for Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelics for their new album, Psychedelicize.
Leanna, I live a few blocks from there.
Yeah.
Stu never comes downtown. And then when he comes downtown, he never says, "Hey, I'm over here. I'm over there. You want to come join me?"
No invites.
That's because Lauren invited him 3 weeks ago and he forgot about it.
I have a lot going on.
You have nothing going on.
It's not easy being me.
But going home and watching, binging Golden Girls is not something going on.
Betty White's got it going on. Is she in there?
Yeah. Rue McClanahan.
Okay. But anyway, welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. Good Sunday morning. Beautiful day. It was great yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Great weather
yesterday. Yeah. Beautiful weather like that. You know I probably went fishing, right?
I would imagine.
I did not.
You did not?
No, because I went fishing Friday out at Big Creek Lake.
And Thursday and Wednesday and
I did. Almost, yeah. Was it Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting Tuesday. I just stopped by, you know, Little Sims Park, chunking some new stuff. And caught a 3.5-pound bass.
You're going to be starting your own fishing show here soon. You've been catching so much.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan, man. Branch out. Catch them, then cook them.
Give Bill Bass some...
Who's Bill Bass? Bill Dance?
Bill Dance, I'm sorry.
What about
he catches
Tom,
bass.
What about Tom Mann?
I don't know him.
He's from Alabama. He invented the soft plastic worm.
There's a lot of people from Alabama that I don't know.
But this guy's been famous for about 70 years.
Okay. I'm not a big fisherman.
That's true. You did most of your fishing with the Boy Scouts?
Pretty much so, yeah.
Well, that's gets silly. It's free
fishing,
meat.
Fishing,
it's free meat.
Well, it is. I know that.
Plus, it's fun.
And I look at all those people, you know, on the causeway, and I'm going, doggone, man, I need to get me a rod and reel. And
let me tell you what I got for less than $2.
What?
It is a crab catching system.
Mm-hmm.
Even you can pull this off, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 50 feet of kite string.
Yeah.
And something on the end to hook a chicken leg to it. And you just throw it all out in the water, and then you just slowly pull it back in. And when it gets close to the pier, you stick a dip net down there and get all the crabs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Free
That's
crabs.
What we used to do.
Yeah.
And, all along the causeway.
Well, see, when I was a small child, my parents and my aunt and uncle, they used to go floundering, and they had the floundering lights, and they would tug us along, and you know, as an adult now, I look at all the gators in there, and I'm wondering, my parents used to walk out in that stuff at night.
You know, gators don't chase you down, right? If you don't step on it, he ain't gonna bite you.
Well, I've been in an airboat and had a gator chase us.
They just follow.
Well, he's right beside us, so maybe he was racing.
Yeah. But
it's curiosity. There was food there.
Yeah, it's pure curiosity, just like with dolphins.
Yeah,
and the playing in it. But there was a picture several years ago of a kayaker in the Delta, and about 50 yards behind him
was
a gator trailing. And Vlad Moldovano from Mediterranean Sandwich Company, who is one of the best, you know, kayak fishermen on the Gulf Coast, said, "Happens every time. It's not a big deal. My boat's just as big as the gator is. He wants to know what's going on."
Yeah.
So they never get closer than that.
Yeah. Well, they're like cats, curious.
Yeah.
But
you are much more likely in that delta to have a snake drop into your boat than you are to have a alligator attack you.
I don't mind if it's a water snake.
The water's.
I ain't got time to look and see if it's. I don't.
Yeah, it's usually moccasins.
To look at the head to see if it's.
Don't look at the head. Just throw it out of the boat.
Yeah.
But we were because gonna, if it falls in the boat, it's most likely a cottonmouth.
We were trying to cook some gator last weekend, but we didn't have a crock pot.
Oh, well, that's not the only way to cook it, you know. Oh, I get it. Crock pot. Oh, it's it was so weak that it just zipped right on by.
Oh, my God.
That's what, you know, crock pot got, the crock shoes got their name because they melted the plastic in crock pots, right? I'm making that up.
I don't know. I've got a friend, who, that's all he wears is crock shoes.
I have had many ladies lecture me that men should not wear crocs because they aren't attractive. And let me remind you, ladies, that you have the ugliest shoe in the world, and you literally call them Uggs because mm-hmm. they're that ugly. Leave me alone on my crocs. All footwear, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is ugly, except cowboy boots. Tennis shoes, didn't matter. A dollar pair of flip-flops to me looks just as good as the most expensive, what is it, Dolce & Gabbana shoe? I don't know. It's a shoe. It's supposed to cover your foot, protect it. That's what it's supposed to do. It is not supposed to look good. And people that notice, the first thing I notice in purchasing is their shoes. You need to see a shrink. Mm-hmm. You got a problem.
Well, look.
Notice the person.
Women sit there and put on shoes that hurt their feet.
Yep.
Hurt their legs, and later on give them back problems. Mm-hmm. And they lecture men on shoes. So,
not to mention, they tear up my floorboard with the high heels. My dad used to rail about that.
Put a piece of plywood down.
Do you have to drive in the high heels?
Well, no, you can't put plywood. Yeah, plywood's too expensive today to put it in your floorboard right now. But anyway. So, anyway.
That's what you got to repurpose. I don't know if it... You said that you were playing poker with dogs or something last night. I forget what you're doing. I was just wondering if you read any of the posts on Facebook last night.
I read a lot of them because I posted something over at BabyNet, and I had hundreds of people respond to it. And
really?
It was about roller skating in the square, like Bimble Square. We had the roller skating on Art Walk mm-hmm. night, and it's a phenomenon. I sat there for almost an hour just watching people skate by and the music, and it was just a great atmosphere Friday night. The weather was beautiful.
Yes.
There was tons of people skating and tons of people sitting there watching, and it was a fun event, especially when the line dancers got together and they were all doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that was phenomenal.
It was great. I looked for y'all because I'd heard y'all were down there, and we had taken Daisy in the wagon.
I got worn out. I got like two different areas I go to.
Okay.
I stopped at the firehouse. I had to get charged up.
Firehouse wine bar, not the sub shop with the overpriced.
Well, it used
subs.
To be a firehouse, but
a real firehouse, not the overpriced sub shop.
It was a horse drawn firehouse.
Yeah.
So anyway, then I made my way over to Heroes and saw David Rask.
Good buddy.
He got me a beer. And then we went and watched the roller skating for a long time. And then I went back to the firehouse and called it a day or a night after that. Yeah. So I saw a lot of people I knew.
Yeah, I stayed home Friday night because, as I mentioned, got a little sun worn out on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And but I went down last night because, you know, mentioned Lauren had invited us, thanks for showing, Mike, to her CD release party. But these were the posts that sent me downtown because I'm not used to seeing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good Saturday night. The Jollies live, the People's Room of Mobile tonight. They play what they want. Great music at Les Bouchons tonight. Jesse Ledbetter will be here from 8:30 to 10:30 playing some classic rock, country, and pop hits at Outpost 406.
Yeah.
Crawfish at Alchemy. The first batch is up. Come get your Saturday on. And then, of course, the Cedar Street Social Club live music is back.
Yeah.
Those, we haven't seen a lot of posts on those on a Friday or Saturday night in a while, have
sure
we?
Sure haven't. And I mean, it's great that people are getting out and enjoying themselves. And regardless of what your politics is or are, get out there and have fun.
And leave the politics at home because it's not fun.
Yeah.
And those of you who think it's fun, that's cool. Go to the library, check out a book on FDR or Woodrow Wilson or someone like that, and leave the rest of us alone.
Let us have our fun.
Yeah. Since it's an entertainment district, clearly politics is forbidden because it's not entertaining.
It is in a lot of places. It's thrown out for sure. But it was a great crowd.
Yeah.
Everybody was laughing, having fun. Mm-hmm. And I love to people watch. I love, love to people watch.
Me too.
Because I go out, I used to go out to flea market all the time. You're talking about free entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of free entertainment. Yeah.
But it was beautiful downtown last night.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it was Friday night as well because, you know, the days were almost exact weather-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it's great to see it waking back up.
Awesome. 343-0106.
Hey, that's our number.
And what do you do with that?
You textify or call.
Please call.
All right.
Make us feel.
Girl, I only know that there's one thing that I love, but it's not you I'm thinking of. I want the ultimate cheeseburger.
Break it down.
Cheese, meat, cheese, cheese, meat, and that's it.
Get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
I have a question for you, Michael Giuseppe Bailey.
Let me guess.
Go. Where'd you eat?
Where'd I eat?
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Blod a while ago.
Oh, you went to Mediterranean.
I went to Mediterranean. I always seem to go to the one in Daphne because... After a process of elimination of all the places I already eat over there, I always seem to go. I didn't have a hankering for fried chicken, so I didn't go to Champy. So
right.
I wanted something a little lighter. So I went to Mediterranean Sandwich Company and there in Daphne. And man, I always get the same thing.
They've got so much new stuff on the menu, and I haven't tried any of it yet. We need to make a point of trying.
I don't ever try anything new for some reason. But I do try all their sides, their soups and lentils and
stuff. The pasta salad is both of them. And the warm pasta. Have you been, Leanna, you spend much time at the Mediterranean Sandwich Company?
I have. Yeah, not over in Daphne, but in Mobile.
It's the same menu at all for them. You've had the pasta salads there, the
Orzo
pasta.
I love their soups.
Oh. Man, so many people would walk in and go, I'll have the rice. And, you have to cut them a break because Orzo is rice. That's what it's. It's pasta that's meant to look like rice.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's so good. It cooks so fast. Because it's so tiny. It's like, couscous is the easiest pasta in the world to cook.
Hmm.
You just pour hot water on it, wait 5 minutes, and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so tiny. And it absorbs the liquid so quick. Orzo is almost as fast. You do actually have to bring the water to a boil, but not for very long.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, you put it in it, and by the time you drain it off, it's going to be good.
Never, ever have I had a bad or slightly bad experience at
Exactly.
There.
It's consistent at all four. With your eyes closed, you won't be able to tell where that redneck Euro came from.
And a super staff. They really have a good staff there.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same people. It's been there. That's been there before the pandemic and still there. So that tells you a lot about Vlad and the company. But also, I went to Gelato Joe's down in Foley.
That's a first in a while.
I haven't been there in a while, but I love their staff. They're good people. But I was craving some soup, so I got the chicken and rice. It was I usually get that all the time. Anyway, it's delicious, really delicious. But I just wanted some meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want the cheese. I didn't want much of the sauce. Mm-hmm. I just wanted meatballs, and they weren't packed tight like a softball. They're almost the size of a baseball. But
do you know
they
how
were
you get
so really good?
You know how you get that light, fluffy texture?
How you do that?
That is the purpose of the breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, you're going to get an irregularly shaped, which still tastes terrific and more meaty, but that texture comes from the inclusion of breadcrumbs soaking up the liquids and stuff getting off, and it makes it nice and pillowy.
Yeah.
And should not be more than 30% meatball, somewhere between 20 and 30%. It goes some places, Subway, and it's 60% bread in their meatball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so and they're supposed to be
and then it's bread
in a meatball.
And then it's own bread.
Right. And nobody knows what the meatball is made out of. That's, again, they don't know what the tuna is made out of.
Kind of like the tuna.
Yeah. They don't know what the tuna at Subway is made out of. They just know it's not fish.
But yeah,
that's scary that science doesn't even know what it is.
I try not to eat at chain places.
Yeah.
Do my darndest. But I got to say, the Firehouse Subs.
I don't like
them. They toast their bread.
And the bread has no flavor. Every sandwich I've had from there tastes like one thing, bread and mayonnaise. And it costs $8,000 and it's two bites. Mm. But I love their mission statement.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do love their subs, but for me, it is the bottom rung of the sub.
And they raise a lot of money for the firemen.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That I greatly appreciate their mission. And it's apparently me, but I mean, when we were at Lucky, there was like maybe one person that would eat it. Everybody they were just like it was terrible.
I can go in there and I can get a 4-inch sandwich, or I can get a 6-inch sandwich, or I can get a foot long.
Mm-hmm. And their 6-inch sandwich is 5.5 inches long because the USDA gives you a 1/2 inch of leeway. So that's what I'm saying. They're small, they're expensive, and they all taste the same with your eyes closed.
But I make a choice to go in there.
Right. Exactly. And for the people that do love it, you love it. That's my experience is it doesn't taste very good. It's extremely expensive, and I leave there hungry.
And we went and ate at Heroes the other night by South Alabama.
Oh, Heroes USA.
Super, super good food. Always, I had to have collards, of course.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you get a lot of collards. He gives you a lot of collards.
Mm-hmm.
My friend had to take his home with him.
I took some home last time I was in.
Mm-mm-mm.
Good collards.
And I'm going to tell you, the other night I made a meal out of this. Dave's pimento cheese from Le Bichon.
Ah.
I made a meal out of it. Just some crackers, a whole sleeve of crackers, and some pimento cheese. Now, Dave puts a lot of jalapeno in there.
Good. Because it needs it. Finely diced. It needs the flavor. It doesn't necessarily need the heat, but it needs the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I hated pimento cheese for most of my life.
Yeah.
Because
I did too.
The store-bought versions you get are terrible.
Yeah.
No sugar should be in pimento cheese. Yeah. There's no point in it. But all the ones you buy in the store are so sickeningly sweet.
Well, you have Dave's, and I'm going to tell you what, you won't eat anybody else's.
And it's pimento cheese, so mayonnaise should not be the number one ingredient.
Yeah.
Pimento and cheese should be just enough mayonnaise to bind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's my trick, Michael.
What?
I take half of the pimento cheese, put it in a food processor blender, get it very smooth.
Yeah.
Then I add in the other half of pimentos and cheese, so there's still some chunk in it.
Okay.
That way I get the smooth, and it's that weird orange color all the way through. And you have chunks, so there's texture. Because that's the other thing I don't like. If your pimento cheese is just smooth, then that's just like eating throw up.
You like chunk, don't you?
Yeah, like chunk. I want texture.
Yeah.
Texture. I like texture.
I want it to spread smoothly. I want to smear it sometimes.
Smear?
Smear?
Smear it on a cracker.
It makes a great grilled cheese sandwich. If you never had a pimento and bacon grilled cheese sandwich,
well, I'm going to tell you what we did, too. We put it on pizza. It's delicious.
Better than pineapple.
On pizza.
Belongs in more
pineapple. You can do your regular.
Everything's better than pineapple.
You just do your regular pizza, whatever way you like it, and then put some blobs of pimento, and it'll melt and spread out on the pizza. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Jeremiah Matthews over at Southwood Kitchen.
I've heard of him.
He puts pimento cheese in his grits. That is some fine
anything
grits.
You can add cheese to, almost, you can put pimento cheese in it, and it's delicious.
Not cheesecake.
I haven't been a big fan. I always thought the store-bought was what it always tasted like. I've never had homemade. And then when I did...
You're like,
Whoa.
Well, Le Bichon, they had people come in there just to buy the pimento. And it's
tell
like
them you don't sell the pimento, but you sell a bottle of wine and you can have a complimentary pimento.
It's just like Cock of the Walk. They Cock of the Walk used to have a full-time person there during the day, because they didn't open during the day except on Saturday and Sunday. But... they had to keep employed there just to sell coleslaw all day long, and turnip greens every now and then. But coleslaw. Oh, the coleslaw at Cocker Walk was
good.
The most awesome coleslaw
good,
in the world.
I just can't imagine people wanting to eat that. It's that much.
Well, they get it for parties and stuff. Yeah. They know their coleslaw sucks, so they go to Cocker Walk and got their coleslaw.
I would. I can't tell the difference. If it's a mayonnaise-based coleslaw, they all taste the same.
It is a sugar-vinegar balance. And it's
the mayonnaise.
I don't like coleslaw, but I do like theirs. Because now you can get it at grocery stores.
Yeah, you can buy it. It's still not the same, but it's close.
Yeah, it's close.
I mean,
it's
I can make it at home, too, but it's a process.
Yeah.
It's like
that's a lot of work. I don't
bolognese. It takes me all day to do bolognese. So anyway,
the other guest.
How many guests we got today?
Two. Same place though.
Okay.
Right. You talk. I got to put that in.
Okay. So, Leanna, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Good. I see your puppy looks good.
Yeah.
She's healing. Good. She's slowly but surely healing.
Tell everybody what happened. Just a bad dog.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, a big dog on a leash broke his leash and ran into the yard and grabbed her. And so she had to have several surgeries. And
I hope the owner of the dog had to have several surgeries, too. Yeah, because it's one thing. If my dog gets out of my yard and yours mauls it, that's my fault.
Right.
Your dog comes in my yard, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to plant it if you don't. One of us is going to have to put it down. Or I'm going to have to put you down. It's just simple as that. Keep your dog out of my yard. I don't mind if it comes in the yard, but if it hurts one of my dogs, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's either the dog or you going down. One of you's going down.
Well, I've always had the fear of big dogs, and so, you know, I was scared that this was going to happen, and it did, but we have good vets in the area. And,
yeah, a lot of great vets, yeah.
I mean,
we live in a great state for
dedicated vets.
Yes.
They really are.
They, you know, worked with me through it, and she's getting better and better.
Awesome.
And I have a GoFundMe on Facebook. We've posted on our Facebook page on FM Talk 106.5.
Please share it with us, and we'll put it on ours.
Okay, I'll do that.
Cool beans. All right, folks, 343-0106. We got some guests coming up.
Yeah,
after the break.
Yeah, Redmont Vodka and Vulcan Gin.
Run, go smoke your cigarette and grab you something to drink and fix your Bloody Mary and come on back.
Buy drinks, buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens. As long as you're tipping.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
We have two guests from one location.
Two at one time.
Two at one time. We have Jonathan Guidry and Eleanor Esseson. They are with a Alabama-owned and produced distillery in the Birmingham area. The Vulcan should have given that way. Redmont Distillery. They do Redmont Vodka and Vulcan Gin. You're the booze guy. Greet them. Talk to them.
Good morning, y'all. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, doing well. Thank you for having us.
Good. Yes, thank you for getting up early and coming. I hope we didn't interrupt anything this morning.
They can still be in bed for all we know. Yeah, that's the great thing about radio.
That's the great thing. What's the weather like up there right now?
It is beautiful. In Birmingham, it's about 70 degrees and perfect.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So tell us what y'all got going on up there. What are y'all making up there?
Some kind of illegal alcohol thing that they wouldn't have liked back in the 30s?
Yeah. So we are a distillery located in Avondale, right by Cahaba Brewing. And in 2014, a couple friends got together to make a distillery when all the breweries started popping up in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And so Jonathan Guidry, who's on the phone as well, Jonathan, do you want to tell this part of the story since it's your story?
Yeah. So I had some friends that, like Elmore just said, wanted to start either a brewery or a distillery or something in Birmingham. There was already in 2014, there was already, I think, four I've already located within the city. So they decided to go the distillery route and kind of brought me in, and we got everything put together, got a package, and got it out on the market. And it was out in the market from 2016 to about mid-2018. And the building we were in sold.
Mm-hmm.
So after that building sold, we kind of sent some products to the ABC, some buildup, and we're kind of waiting some on investment firms. And that's when we got a hold of Charles Barkley and the rest of the investment firms, and they kind of invested, and that's when we got the building that Eleanor's talking about across from Cahaba. And I left my full-time job around mid-2019 and went over there, built out distillery, and have been making that booze since.
In 2019 we ended up coming in with an investor group and rebranding kind of the bottle, the label, the liquid, everything top to bottom. Jonathan built out the distillery and made it so that we can have a facility that can produce probably 300,000 cases a year.
Yeah.
So it really kind of it took the company the next, you know, next level, being able to produce a bunch and just kind of rebranding for mass distribution.
You know, as a matter of fact, I met Charles Barkley in Atlanta one day. Sorry for that outburst. So we're having him removed right now from the building. He's a huge guy. Charles is a huge guy.
I joke with him, like, you know, you can't just kind of go into a room and put on a hat and sunglasses and disappear. Like, if you're there, people know it.
Yeah, he ought to play. Yeah, he ought to play basketball or something. He's so tall. But no, he was super nice, very approachable, and he was a super nice guy.
Terrible golfer.
Oh, terrible golfer, yeah. God,
he's
I
getting
can't.
Better.
I think
he's
stepped better. Up his game a little bit since maybe, then. I think people have been...
Maybe he needs to take a shot.
I think he kind of felt like it was time to change some things up.
Maybe y'all need to... maybe he needs to take a couple of shots of y'all's stuff before he takes a swing, maybe that's what he looks like. Anyway, what's the primary grain y'all use?
Jonathan, you
want to
answer that since you're the
distiller? Our vodka is 100% corn-based, made with non-GMO, gluten-free, and 8 times distilled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the base of the vodka, and then the base of the gin is just we start off with the vodka. Then we use 4 select botanicals to create that flavor profile in our gin.
Yeah. Okay. And... what kind of barrels are y'all doing? Barrel aging?
We're not doing any kind of barrel aging at this point. No, okay. we got the vodka and gin out in the market. And I think we're going to try to kind of stick with those two for right now.
Well, those two products go to market quicker too. You know, because you're not aging them in barrels. And how many cases are y'all producing a year now of each?
Somewhere around 20,000-30,000.
Wow.
Right now, yeah. Wow. So right now we're in Alabama, and we just are in Georgia as of November.
Okay.
And then we are brand new in Mississippi.
Okay. Who are you using as your broker or distributor choice?
Southern Glazer is in Alabama and Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
And NDC is in Georgia.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All good companies. All good companies, yeah. I've had dealings with them in the past with the wine. And, a long time ago, I wanted to open a distillery because it was in my family's blood out of South Carolina.
Bootlegging.
What? Anyway, I wanted to do one, and there was no distilleries in Alabama at the time. And now there's a bunch of them. So that goes my retirement plan.
Yeah.
There were so many, like you said, there was just so many breweries and popping up everywhere. And, you know, I wasn't much of a brew guy, but I did love the spirits, and I wanted to do that. And that was a passion I wanted to do. And now at one point, there was less than 100 boutique distilleries in the U.S., and now there's probably a couple thousand now.
Yeah.
And, wow. So what's
the subculture? I mean,
it's
interesting.
States
everybody
right now,
everybody has creating a different flavor profile, and it's
so
a neat thing to be a part of.
We got our federal license here at Redmont in 2014. We were the first in Birmingham since Prohibition to have a DSP, and I think we were like seventh or eighth in the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all get a lot of visits. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all get a lot of visits from the state. Come and check and see if y'all measuring things right and stuff.
They'll stop by every now and then. State and the federal government. It's just normal procedure.
Do they buy any when they come in? You know, they come in to make sure you're not breaking the law. They could at least buy a bottle or two. You know,
that's right.
I tried to, but I don't think we should be doing that. So I'm lying.
Okay, so they're all above board. They're not trying to get free
good,
stuff.
Good.
Okay.
I can keep them honest.
This is stuff I think about sometimes.
So. I try to start off with that when they show up. It's a bit easier, but. It just never worked out in my favor.
So who's the boss there?
Cricket. Is the boss. Yeah.
He got quiet, so I'm guessing it's her.
Now, how much advice do y'all take from Charles?
He's really involved. He'll be yes, let's do this or not do that, or that sounds great. So he's watching from the sidelines and thumbs up or thumbs downing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, see, I worked with Kenny Stabler several years back with his wine label and all that, and we had a lot of meetings around the country and met with a lot of distributors. Kenny was, he was on top of it. He was involved heavily with getting out there and promoting his brand and all that. And we had Bo Jackson. When was that? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Came in.
About his burger stuff.
I sent them
a copy of that interview they could hear what the style was.
Yeah.
So.
And Bo was heavily involved with his burgers, and Bo's Burgers. And,
yeah.
And,
yeah. Charles is definitely heavily involved. He knows exactly what's going on.
Awesome.
And he's excited about the product. He loves the product, obviously, What's Charles's famous quote? Who doesn't love vodka?
Okay.
He's all in.
Now, do you have one vodka and one gin right now?
No flavors, basically. Well, I guess gin and flavors a vodka, but
it's not the original flavored vodka.
Regular vodka and then the gin.
Okay, all right. And what are your plans? Your plans coming up? What do you got on the board next? If you can give that secret away.
Yeah, we are going to
Scotch from Alabama.
Into probably what our targets are right now are Florida, California, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Illinois, and Texas.
Yeah.
And kind of get those big states covered, Nevada, Arizona, and then kind of see how it goes. Just keep pushing forward every day. I feel like we are growing every single day.
So you're trying to get some brand recognition first
before you
start bringing flavors in and stuff like that. Not that I care about flavors. I really don't.
Yeah, I like vodka flavor.
If I'm drinking vodka, I'm drinking just vodka and a little ice.
I like gin. I love gin.
I like vodka croutons. Those
vodka croutons?
Yeah, they're those crystal ice things. They're ice croutons. Whoa. Ice croutons.
I've never even heard of it.
I'm not the expert.
It's just ice.
Oh. Okay.
I'm like,
you flung that one right by me.
They call them drink croutons. Yeah,
drink croutons.
Okay. Like a salad.
He's a regular comedian this morning.
That's right.
I'm here all week.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, in honor of y'all's visit, I have come up with a special martini.
Oh,
that I call the Mobtown Martini, after Mobile, Mobtown. I think you're going to like it. It's 1 ounce of Redmont vodka, 1.5 ounces of Vulcan gin, 1/2 ounce of dry vermouth, and then you garnish it with a pickled okra.
Ooh, I love it.
Man.
Can we put it on our website?
Yeah. I'll send it to you in an email. How's that sound?
We were just talking about drinks we could do with the gin and the vodka yesterday, so that works out good.
Well, you could do this. Since you got an edible in there, just call it the sip and chew.
The sip and chew.
Oh, heck yeah!
you got the okra to chew on,
You got the vodka and gin to sip on.
We'll name it our martini.
Vodka.
Yeah.
We'll name it our.
Forget you, Mobile. Martini. It's all about us. We want our stinking nappy.
I love it. That's awesome.
Well, guys, tell us how people can get where they can buy it at right now, and how can they? You got a website and Facebook page and all that? All your social media stuff.
We do. So it's redmontdistilling.com is our website. And then our Instagram is at redmontdistilling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy it throughout Alabama and ABC and package stores. Same in Georgia. You can buy it in a bunch of package stores. We have a store locator on our website.
Oh, good.
But in Alabama, we're pretty inundated so in all the stores. So
Awesome.
Pick it up. And then I think we're going to – our next target is to hop online and get online sales through a company called Reserve Bar and a couple others, maybe wine.com. So we'll soon be able to hopefully ship from those sites.
Well, in October, you'll be able to have it delivered home to someone's
exactly.
home.
Exactly. Yep.
Awesome.
That's good stuff.
I never would have thought that in Alabama. Never in my life. Never.
Yeah, Mike's just sitting here trying to figure out where they're going to back the semi up to at his place.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank y'all for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you so much.
And we've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm going to get out there and try it.
Yeah, and when you see Charles, tell him Stu said War Eagle.
Thank you for taking the call.
Hey, tell Charles I said Roll Tide. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Yes, y'all have a good day.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All that cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When you get drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodie, drink wine.
Bap, bap.
Michael Spodioti. I'm glad you asked where I ate, Mike.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, where'd you eat? Well, you're going to like this first one on the list.
I already do.
Yep. I did not go there. It was brought to me.
Oh.
Taco Casa from Tuscaloosa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other day we were out running around doing some errands, getting some stuff done. We ended up in this little neighborhood right here where we are right now, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a little place maybe you've heard of it, the Boiling Pot.
Mm, yum.
Oh, man. That catfish po' boy had four giant catfish fillets in it. Four of them.
Really? Four?
I got the large and ate half at lunch and ate the second half for lunch the next day.
Wow.
That was how much. Just terrific. Just great. And it's funny because I had a fried catfish po' boy this week. And then a couple of days later, I told you I caught a huge bass. And I cooked and ate him. And I fried him. And sent a picture to my buddy, you know. And he said, oh, man.
No PETA protests?
No. They know better than come up in my yard. And that flung a craving on him, so he called a bunch of people, and we all went out to Tanner Williams, went to Lowe's and Fish's. And I was the only one that didn't get fried seafood because I'd already had it twice this week, including for lunch that day.
Yeah.
I got the grilled shrimp and baked sweet potato with cinnamon butter. Just fantastic. And a big old basket of fried jalapenos.
A big old.
Big old basket of fried jalapenos.
And got the cake, a lot younger stomach than I did.
The cake.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why you need to go out there. And Leanna needs to go out there. They have three or four different homemade cakes every day.
Mm.
I got the coconut.
See,
they had a chocolate.
Like
they had red velvet. Yeah. And it's good little family-owned place. We were the last table to go in. They close at 9. We walked in at 7:45. They eat early out there in the country. So
yeah, well, they got to get up and feed the cows.
Yeah, they got to do real work
before they go to work.
Yeah, and it was great. Now, I mentioned earlier that last night was the CD release party for Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelics album, Psychedelicize. It was at the Cedar Street Social Club. Have you been there before?
Love that place.
Okay, that was my first time. Very cool vibe. They got some high tops with bar stools. They got couches. They got a bar you can mingle at. It was very cool. Very cool vibe. Very cool place. Great show. Fantastic energy. And I have to say that Lauren's performance was probably one of the best in the city in the last year. She had so much passion behind it. Because all these musicians, man, and I understand it from the chef's point of view and from having performed professionally, you want to perform. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Like it or not, we're all divas and we want to hear the applause.
Yeah.
And she's had a year of that bottled up.
Yeah.
The whole group did. Ryan Balthrop went on before her, and just it was lights out, man. The band was just outstanding.
I enjoy him, too. He's a good person. He's a great person.
But I'm telling you, Lauren's performance just brought the house down.
Man. Oh, I bet.
It was just incredible, and there was so much passion in her singing.
And she's nice on the eyes, too.
She looked especially stunning last night. And it was like, and Leanna probably can sympathize with this, it's been a whole year of shopping online for stage clothes and no stage to go on.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Then I told Lauren, when I walked in, I said, a little different from what I'm used to. And she goes, yeah, I know. In Nashville, whether you're the one performing and it's your CD, doesn't matter. You dress like you're performing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone's pulling out their best. And I'm sitting there looking at the closet. I told Lawrence, I don't know if I have rock and roll clothes anymore. You know, so I wore a purple long sleeve shirt, black pants, you know. Mm-hmm. I was way overdressed.
Prince look.
I was way overdressed.
The Prince of Sims.
You and I currently, the Fresh Prince of Sims, or the Chubby Prince of Sims. You and I are dressed like
slightly
the majority
stale.
Of the... And Lauren and I both commented that, you know, she'd been record release parties in California. I've been to them in Nashville. I don't know about California and Nashville. They're not stuck up, but you dress really nice for them.
Yeah.
Mobile was, you dress like it's Mobile. And it was so much more comfortable that way.
Like 100% humidity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not last night, but
yeah.
But it was so much more casual and laid back than anything we had been to, you know, in some of the major cities, you know, for music. And that album was recorded and mixed here in Mobile. The producer was part of the band last night.
Cool.
And it was just a fantastic night. It was one of those, man, where I've been in such a doldrum of not going out that I had to kick myself to do it.
Yeah.
And then when I got downtown, I was so happy I went.
Yeah.
You know, because that's one of the things we're going to have to knock this malaise over now that we can go out again.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are just used to sitting at home all the time.
Well, and drinking their gin and vodka, you know, at home.
From Redmond.
But you know,
I'm going to put that there.
We are supporters of local, supporting, you know, eat local, buy local, whatever. Get out and support local music, too.
Yes.
It's
such a huge part of, I mean... Why do clubs have musicians play?
Yeah.
So that people will come in and they can sell them alcohol. Why do restaurants have musicians play? So that fans of the musician will go in addition to the regular crowd and dine with them. It's intermixed into the entire entertainment industry as far as, you know, not movies, TV, entertainment industry, but the nightlife.
Yeah.
It's all bounded. And honestly, local art as well. Because I'm telling you, man, you do a restaurant, you want the interior to look good, call the local high school, tell them, we're going to give you an entire wall and we're going to feed you pizza every Saturday till you get this mural done.
Yeah.
And tell them.
Art department, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that helps the kids out. Let's hire a local artist. There's lots of them. Beer Garden did a wonderful job with the picnic tables. Enlisting all of the different local artists to come in and paint their picnic tables. We need more of that. We need it. This community, this family atmosphere that downtown Mobile has been blessed with, and in the Redneck Riviera as well, that whole strip of Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, all of those businesses, they don't compete so much as they work together.
Yeah.
And I want us to maintain that, because as we get bigger, there's going to be more people that come in from out of town that, you know, have good intentions, want to bring us good food, but they're going to be in that competitive mindset. We want everyone to be in the friends helping friends.
Yeah. And
we all get better when we help each other.
I got to see the cruise ship the other day when it came in.
The Alabama? The big gray went out in the bay?
No, the Carnival. The cruise ship came in the other day. Only in for a day.
What kind of missiles does it have?
It doesn't have any of that.
Well, what good is it? Can you fish from it?
Yeah, probably.
You control. I bet you need a reel with a lot of line.
See, yes.
That's my thing with cruises. If I can't fish, why am I on a boat?
I know. I'm not a cruise guy. But they bring in thousands of people into the area.
Yeah.
And I love watching people that ain't from around here walking up and down the streets, especially out on the causeway going, look at the ocean. Anyway.
We got to get.
Yeah, we got to go. Get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Tip. Please tip your servers.
They are earning it, trust me. And these people are overworked and understaffed.
And so you people who ain't going back to work yet, get your butts back to work.
And above all else, Robolone.
I wear this net on my head, cause my red hair is...